worst of the story. The lieutenant stood beneath the painted insignia on the fuselage of the B-26, and he said, "Is it okay if I ride with you?" The pilot pointed to another B-26, parked and revving nearby. He told the lieutenant, "I thought you were on the Wabash Cannonball over there." The lieutenant, a little sheepishly, related how he'd been seated in the other plane, but how after a delay of departure, he'd left the craft to go to the bathroom. And when he came back to the Cannonball, he found Colonel Stevens in the seat he'd vacated. He tried to tell Stevens what had happened, but the colonel, grinning, only replied, "Find another plane." The pilot nodded to the lieutenant, "All right, come on aboard." About then, Corporal Barron, the tail gunner, walked up, and he told the lieutenant, "Look, you're only a Navy observer here. You don't have to go on this mission. It's a dangerous mission. Don't go if you don't have to. Get whatever you need from Navy intelligence later on." The lieutenant thanked the corporal for his concern, but he said, "I want to see the big war for myself." Well, the B-26 took off. The plane was somewhere between 7 Mile Strip and the targeted Japanese base on the northeast coast of New Guinea when three Zeros jumped him. In an instant, enemy machine gun bullets were drumming the B-26 fuselage. Cannon shells were blasting against it. It was like a shotgun going off in your ear again and again and again. And the lieutenant was thinking something else. He ought to have been on that other B-26, the Wabash Cannonball, but he'd lost his seat. Now he might lose his life as well. The pilot, frantically attempting to evade the Zeros, jerked his bomber all over the sky, skidding and swerving, diving and climbing. Too slow, though. Bombs would have to be jettisoned to lighten the plane, and they were. And still, one after the other, the Japanese attackers poured in on the shuddering B-26. The lieutenant gazed out the little window, stunned, breathless, watching as one Zero would fake a pass to draw the bomber's fire, while the other two came straight at him from out of nowhere, throwing everything they had straight in, as though they were about to collide with the B-26. The American pilot struggled for a nearby bank of clouds. That was their only hope. The lieutenant closed his eyes, thinking about the safe seat on the Wabash Cannonball, of which Colonel Stevens had deprived him. When the lieutenant opened his eyes again, the deafening thunder of shells had ceased. The bomber was enshrouded in clouds. It was over. They could return to base now. And they did return to base. The lieutenant was a long time getting to sleep that night, less for his harrowing adventure than for thoughts of one plane in the American bomber squadron which did not return home. One plane did not return. Crippled by shellfire from a lone Zero, that craft had spun in. Straight into the ocean, no survivors. The sharks got the leftovers. The name of that American plane was the Wabash Cannonball. And for the rest of his life, that Navy observer who survived because he went to the bathroom tried to purge from his mind the memory of the men with whom he'd ought to have shared a watery grave. But he, the lieutenant commander, who was also a United States congressman, lived to tell and more. And you remember that man who got bumped from a one-way flight to oblivion. Lyndon Baines Johnson. Now you know the rest of the story.